Good afternoon. Yeah. We are going to be between you guys and lunch, so just bear with us. But hopefully it will be a fun-filled and a lot of new things that we want to share. So let's get started. Today we're going to talk about how do you migrate your VMs on Azure, how you plan for it, what are some best practices, and what tools to use. And once you move, is there anything that you need to consider from a consideration perspective? And what all services we have on Azure that can give you a bird's eye view of what's going on in your cloud environment as well as on-premises, right? So we'll talk through a lot of things. It's power-packed. We have been given 45 minutes, so we'll make absolute use of it. My name is Pracheta Budhwar. I'm a technology evangelist with Microsoft India. I'm joined by my colleague, Rohit. So Rohit is an architect with Microsoft Consulting Services. So while my job is to go and talk to customers and I could see some familiar faces across the length and breadth of the country, he's very specific working with enterprise customers. So with both of us, we'll bring our experiences working with from the small scale customer to middle, medium sized customers to really, really big enterprises and SIs, okay? Keep your questions handy, we'll take them towards the end. If it is really burning, please feel free to ask, okay? Let's keep it interactive as we move along. So what are we going to discuss today? Very, very simple. We will understand very briefly what are the migration challenges when you're thinking to move your VMs on-premises to the cloud. What you need to keep in mind, what all considerations and assessment best practices you should consider, prerequisites, of course, tools, and when it comes to operations, we will dig deep into operational insight. That's all, right? So get ready for moving your workloads to Azure. Having said that, not every workload makes sense. Hence, there is a requirement. Hence, it is very, very important to plan before you migrate, right? Assessing or determining which workload makes sense is a key condition or a key let folks come in. So it's one of the important things that you absolutely have to keep in mind. That is something that only you can know because it's your environment. As an outsider, I might not know. So, we're going to talk a lot about planning, assessment, then the tools, etc. So planning is absolutely essential. I know it becomes very tempting as soon as you have the Azure portal. First thing people do is go and fire up a VM, right? Maybe you don't even have a storage account network, but it's so tempting. Now, don't do that. If it is testing, fair enough. Just don't do that if it is a production environment. Please contemplate, pause down, plan, and then move, okay? So assessment and rationalization is absolutely mandatory. What all you should think through, of course, all the what's and why's and the how's, right? What should I migrate? What can I migrate, okay? So what should is something that you would come to understand from the business need, what applications you have decided to move to the cloud. Once that is done, we are talking about from there onwards today, right? Saying that you understand what workloads to run. You also need to know whether you can run or not, whether it's going to be supported on Azure. Is there anything that you need to consider before moving that particular OS or workload, okay? Then you go ahead and understand, if there are any challenges, should you really migrate that VM or should you just leave it on-prem, okay? You should absolutely be, then the bigger question comes in, how do I migrate it, right? Where do I get started? There are way too many tools, honestly. So we will not make you more confused. We'll just give you two, three tools which we felt that are good enough for you to get started. And of course, what is the effort and impact? Because it's just not about tools and technologies. It's also about SLAs. It's also about downtime. It's also about how many man hours will go into this migration. Will this project last for 30 days or 13 days, right? And what's the impact, So all those things are very, very important questions. There's no technology here yet, but it's absolutely essential. And in our engagements with customer, we have seen this across the board. So even if I'm going and talking to a small ISV, let's say in Hyderabad, or say Rohit works out with a giant SI, let's say sitting in Chennai, you have the similar practices that needs to be followed. So there's no two ways with if I'm a big or small, whether I should follow. This is something that everybody should think through when you're talking about production migration. Test and dev, you can absolutely play around, right? But You know, we're here to tell you the best practices. So what can I migrate? When you're thinking about migration, there would be a few things that come into perspective, and I would like to bucketize them in these four categories: virtual machine, data, application websites, and SQL databases, right? Today's session is absolutely focused more on virtual machines. So because, you know, we can talk for 4 hours when it comes to migration, maybe that is also not sufficient. So we thought we'll just narrow down, talk about virtual machines only, though there are best practices and ways. There are sessions on data migration, SQL migration too. Okay, so these are the few areas in which you should be thinking through when you're thinking about migration. Okay, now what can I migrate? The next question: what are the operating systems that are supported on Azure Fabric? Right, of course, the latest Windows Server 2012 R2. Just pay a close attention here. 2008 R2 is supported, that too will have a limited life cycle. 2008 is not there, and of course, don't even think about 2003, right? You know, I'm sure you must be getting rid of it on premises also. When in the cloud, there's no way, okay? So just know. And when it comes to flavors of Linux, we do support lots of versions of SUSE, Ubuntu, CentOS, and there are Oracle databases and some WebLogic servers, which are versions which are absolutely supported. So please check those. All those things are available in one website, and you can go and check. Make sure that you do not plan migrating 2008 and then later you figure out that it's not supported and it will not run on Azure, okay? Migration checklist. Now, as I said, migration can be absolutely, absolutely complicated. It could be fairly reasonable also, and no two migrations are the same. Is there anybody who comes from the old days of NT4? Yeah, gray hairs, we all color our hairs. Yeah, so from NT4 to 2003 used to be such a big deal, right? From 2003 to 2008, little better. 2008 to 2012, yeah, it just smooth as, like, as people say, like, as smooth like a butter. So, you know, there are challenges depending on the workloads, of course, depending on your environment as well. But on a general purpose understanding, these are the few things, again, you should be thinking through: compute, network, storage, configuration. Now, what do I mean by that? When it comes down to compute, you must know that if I'm running a VM on-prem, the one way to compute, one way to do a calculation is to find a nearby A4, A5, or whatever size is there in Azure, and you go ahead and put it there. That's an estimate that you do, right? But can there be a tool which tells you in a more comprehensive manner? Yes. Networks. Network is one thing which is often not, you know, thought through. And that is, again, something that we've seen across the board. Even if you're going to Azure, you have to define your network. When you're going to migrate, understand what IP addresses you will get on the cloud, right? And which subnet you're going to place it, which Azure virtual network it's going to rest in. So think about those things. Even if it is going to be a migration of a VM, it is going to have an IP address, isn't it? So think about that, okay? Storage, of course. Madan, the speaker before us, talked extensively about different kind of storage options. So you can go with premium, you can go with normal, depending on what makes sense to you, right? And of course, config. So there are some tools, and let me introduce the first one here. It's called Azure Cost Estimation Tool, okay? For those of you who come more from a business side, this is something that you absolutely would be first interested in. So this is a very neat tool, has been updated recently. It helps you to give a roundabout cost estimation of, and it will run on premises, do the assessment, tell you the cost which it will occur on Azure if you run for a week or a month, etc. So, but please note, this is for the US data center region as of now. It will be expanded to others. So in case you have plans to put your workloads on US data center, this will work like a charm. For other areas, please refer to normal Azure pricing calculator that you know of, right? It's already there. Okay, what else? What about data migration? So though we are not going to dwell deep into it, let me quickly touch base, because it's not only compute or the virtual machine configuration that you're going to move. You're absolutely going to move workloads which have some data alongside, let's say file servers, right? How about media servers, or it could be, for that matter, SharePoint. So data resides in various pockets in your organization. Which pockets you should be moving to Azure and which you should not be, or you should be more careful about. So these are the ones which, you know, for which Azure storage or blob is absolutely, absolutely lovely, right? So be it SharePoint, be it virtual machines, archive data, right? You can keep your backup data, archival data on Azure at a very dirt cheap, prices. File servers, of course. But when you are dealing with databases, you have to be cautious. So you can absolutely move databases and logs, but what you have to be cautious about is it cannot have, in the migration specifically, it's not that you have SQL Server running on premises and database you have created on the cloud, or SQL database on the cloud, and then you are doing the migration. You have to be a bit cautious. It will not be straightforward. Okay, so to start with, also one thing which I forgot to mention is this. If you're new to migration, or if it's cloud is new to you, Azure is new to you, first time identify the less critical workloads and do this process. I'm sure all of you do that. It's, you know, it's no rocket science, but please do not start with the most critical one. No, I know for some of you are laughing, but this, you know, there are instances. Some of the times people want to test the platform. I will give you the toughest question to crack, right? Yes, of course, you should get there, but for your own sake, start with something, get familiarized with the process, and then go ahead and do your critical workloads. Likewise, when it is active virtual machines, you are doing the migration, you should be aware. Emails, OST files, anything that is active, have got active connections, you will have to be cognizant of how it will impact. Right? So any migration, because there will be data consistency things that you have to think about. That's about it. Okay? So again, no rocket science. Whatever we are going to talk about might not be new to you. It's just that in the perspective of Azure, how you should be planning. Now, how to migrate data? Has anybody heard about StorSimple? Yeah? Hybrid cloud system that we have. So that is one way, but it might not make sense for everyone. Then there are other services and ways to do that as well. So StorSimple, just to give a brief insight, it's an appliance that you can put on premises, and it will, all the data will go through it to your cloud subscription, and it will be encrypted and compressed. Hence, you know, the amount of the size that of blob storage that you need on cloud will also reduce. But again, for big enterprises and small scale SMBs, medium scale and large enterprises, this makes a lot of sense. But if you come from a smaller organization, maybe you don't want to invest into it. And though there are schemes with Azure, if you sign up upfront, you get a StorSimple device, etc. So if there's a use case scenario, that is one good way to migrate data. Second is export-import. If you have got really petabytes and terabytes of data and you don't want to copy it over the network, you can absolutely use our export-import service, dump it in a hard drive, ship it across to the data center where you want to have your virtual machines running, and then you get going. Manual copy. There are various tools. AZ Copy, Storage
Explorer,
right? There are several tools. Again, all these tools, import, export, manual copy, all these are free tools, okay? So you can leverage if you feel that I just have to do it once, it's okay, I'll just use a free tool and do it, right? You can go ahead and leverage, okay? Cloud to cloud, of course. If you are running instances on AWS and you want to move it to Azure, of course, you have to plan through that. And there are tools to help you end-to-end to do that. Okay. So that's about some, taken a lot of time there, but that's about planning what you can migrate, what you cannot migrate, what you have to be more considerate about. And let's talk about assessment now. So there's a tool called as Microsoft Azure Virtual Machine Assessment, Readiness Assessment Tool. So it will tell you that this particular environment is ready for Azure or not. Okay, and give you recommendations. For now, it is very comprehensive for AD, SQL Server, and SharePoint. So if you're running it on-prem, run this tool, take the output, and you know that, you know, where you, it will give you a document, very neat document. So that is one. Of course, there is one tool that we all love and own if you are in IT, MAP, right? Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit, right? It's been there for, I don't know, I've been seeing it when it was 3 dot something. Now it is 9.4 or 5 something, right? It has really evolved and it has got great assessment modules for Azure Readiness. So you run, let the, so just to give you a MAP, for those of you who are new, is again a free downloadable Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit. You run it in, on your environment, let it assess your virtual machines, etc., and it will give you a report. You might want to run it for 4 days or 2 weeks, depending on how comprehensive reports you want. It will gather performance, thresholds, and give you suggestions. Okay, so don't forget. So these are the two tools. Azure, I'll show you demos of both of them, so you won't forget. These are for assessment. But before we jump to the demo, again, best practices. VMs are not going to be sitting all alone and, you know, just be happy in the cloud. Of course, they're going to, might require a domain controller. They might have to have go to our database server. So these are the environmental assessment prerequisites that you have to think through. The VM that I'm going to put on the cloud, am I going to have Active Directory on the cloud since I'm moving 20 VMs? Answer could be yes or no. If it is yes, then whether it be a ADC or a RODC, think through those things, okay? Account management, who will be managing these VMs on the cloud? Role-based access control, SLAs, availability sets. So Madan spoke about availability sets, so I'm not going to talk through. But there are many fold environmental assessment that you need to think through. Backup and disaster recovery, of course. If the VMs are going to run on Azure, you're just taking infrastructure from us. Backup is still something that you take care of. Patching is still something that you own, right? So just think about those as well. And as I said, networking is mostly underrated. Please think through networking as well. It's not difficult. It's not different than on-premises. It's just a different way of doing it. And there are a lot of videos and documentations available online for Azure networking. And last but absolutely not the least, what about firewalls, security? You know, when it comes to antivirus, how exactly are you going to manage it inside the VMs, right? Do you just think through those things, okay? All right, now let's quickly see a couple of demos. And while Rohit, what do you think about this slide while I switch to the demo and start?
They just need to power me on first, okay? So just a school of thought here.
Warm up, Rohit, warm up.
I need to, thank you. So just a school of thought here, we have many tools available. Just measure using a tool based on the scale it can go through and the complexity you have in your environment. If you're going with a free sets of tool, it'll have its own baggage. Maybe if you're taking a production critical load, maybe you look for a tool which can give dashboards and reports while you do migrations. While if it's more like a dev and test environment which you're trying to migrate, free tools could be good enough to do that exercise for you. We will do some demos today. We'll talk about the assessment tools and the tool around migration. So, Rucheta, over to you.
I'll just switch over. And hopefully you can see the prompt here. This is actually running the Azure Virtual Machine Assessment Tool. It's a small tool, just downloaded it, and when I want to run it for the first time, okay, you can see MAP is running in the back. We'll talk about it later. So just focus on this one. It is asking me, let me try to zoom it a bit, if it gets better. Yeah. So it's asking me, what do you want to access? And I will just go ahead and let me zoom it in a way, which...
I think it's visible.
So it's visible?
Yeah, it's visible.
Okay. So I'll just go ahead and, maybe I'll go without zoom. All right. So what do you want to access? And Active Directory, SharePoint, and SQL, as I said, for now, this is what it does best. So I already have assessment for AD, so I'll just go ahead and maybe do it for SQL, right? And I'll say start assessment. Straightforward.
Put in a good name and file. Yeah, wait.
Yeah, it just takes a minute. So that, and there will be, it's a wizard-based process. So there'll be four or five wizards that you go through. In fact, there are 10 wizards, if I'm not wrong. Let me see. So important questions. So it's going to ask you, if you look at the top, it's going to ask you 10 questions. Do you use solid state SSDs for this particular SQL Server database files? Answer could be yes or no. If the answer is yes, you will say yes. If it is no, you will say no. Or it could be unsure also. It will figure out for you. Then I'll go ahead and say what, you know, are you using any application which is integrated with Windows authentication? Yes, I think I'm using that. I'll go ahead and you know, keep on putting these inputs, yes, no, unsure, whatever I know of this particular environment. Of course, when you're running it in your own environment, you would know it better. But sometimes it so happens, maybe you are the data, you are the enterprise admin, but you're not the database admin. So you might need to check with somebody while you're running it. Does your workload depend heavily on disk I/O? Now, yeah, I would say yes here. It could be no also, because it depends the SQL is running what kind of database. Does it require connectivity back to on-premises, or are you going to just keep it on Azure? Maybe I'll say yes. And like that, you just keep on giving, let's say, moderate bandwidth for now, and so forth. So you got the drill, right? It will ask you a few questions, and you say, yeah, I want to manage this machine using RDP. So it will just open those exceptions in the port. Worldwide or medium-sized geography or just local for the company, how exactly you're going to use your user base is going to be. So the usage pattern is global or local, you will choose accordingly. And here also, this is intelligent enough to also assess that if it is going to be a development, whether it is a good assessment, if it is a production, let me do a benchmarking against production setup. So I'll just say let's say development and use existing BHDs or use gallery. I will just say let's say unsure. Let's see. And say next. That's about it. So those are the 10 questions that you go through, and it allows you to understand. Let me show you. I'll show a map also. Then we will see some assessment documents that it creates. Yeah, we'll see that on that machine. Okay, so it will go on for a while and give you this. Now, coming back to the good old map tool, assessment and planning tool. So this is my assessment and planning tool. You could see that I have got few various things running here for cloud, desktop, server. So let's go to cloud, because that's what we are talking about today. For the sake of due to time constraint, what I have done, I have already ran assessment in the back end. So we have done the inventory collection, performance data, because it takes time. But when you're doing for the first time, all you need to do is to either create a database here or refer it to another database, right? You can have a full-fledged database where you connect this map tool. It could be Express also, right? So you could see I have defined a database there, and that's where all my inventory data and performance data will go and sit. If I look at my VM readiness, the set of VMs where I ran this test on, 87% of them are ready to move to Azure, and I will figure out why the next 13% are not. If they're not, I'll let them be on-premises. I'll move ahead with those 87%. So it's very, very neat, and you could see that it has been able to do sizing for all 30. So I ran it for 30 VMs, and it could tell and do the capacity planning, and hence we will be able to know what it takes when we are moving on-prem. So, and it's also telling you, this is very, very neat, isn't it? It's going to tell you that out of these 30 VMs, how many of them will be running on A0 size, how many on A5 size. So if you get this picture, you can also do a cost estimation, right? And you know that how much operational cost you're going to occur on a regular basis. So let me just switch setup and show you. Sorry about that. So I have got all those reports. I just got them in the morning. So let me just show you the report, how exactly it looks like. So in the summary, it's telling you how many servers we did. It absolutely runs successfully for all 30. It might not be the case sometimes. And you could see that, sizing results. So this particular Excel sheet will be like a mother of all assessment, one that you can refer to. For a high level, for a detailed one, and of course, virtual machine profile. So, and so on and so forth. You could see that it can also give you results on utilization. So you might have given X capacity to a VM. It might not be running to its full capacity. So when you're moving to the cloud, whether you want to replicate the same or you want to downsize it or upsize it is also a call you can take. right? So it's a very, very comprehensive tool, and the reports are very neat. The second one that, the second one that I would like to show you here is this one, readiness. So it tells you that how many Windows machine, how many Linux machine, machines that are ready, machines are ready after changes, right? So out of these 30, 24 are ready, 26 are ready, and 4 will be ready after some changes. So I can go ahead and look, you know, do all the intelligence based on, so no upgrade or migrate to virtual Windows Server something. So I might have a 2003 or 2008 running in this environment. It's saying you upgrade, then migrate, otherwise just let them be where they are, right? So hopefully, it, you know, you get a point where what exactly we're trying to bring to the table. Another, the first tool that we ran quickly, and as I said, I did the assessment for it for Active Directory. And it takes a while to run, so we did it in the morning. So it's going to tell you this detailed one, right? So it's going to tell you whether it is ready, it's set, when you're trying to move, what all you have to consider for subscription, and so on and so forth. It's very detailed documentation that you get, all right? So, okay. Floor, because, we have dearth of time here. Yep.
Hey, thanks, Prajita. So I've got 16 minutes, and now I can relate it to the Twitter handle I have. It's Rohit Gulati 82. I can do just 2 demos of 8 minutes each. So that's how we'll flow. I talked about that there are many tools that we can use to do migrations. Microsoft talk about 3 tools. MVMC. Anybody is aware of MVMC here? Okay. I can see a few hands. It's a wizard-based tool that can help you migrate one VM at a time. You can bundle it with MAT, which is a set of PowerShell scripts, and it can help you automate, and you can do a bunch of VM migrations. I'm going to talk about the MMA today. It's an acquisition that we did, and it has been adopted in our flavor, which can help you migrate from physical VMware, Hyper-V to Azure. So we'll focus our energy on this one.
Yeah.
And I'll just spend a minute on the features for it, and then I'll talk about the architecture. So it can do heterogeneous workloads. It could be a Windows environment, physical environment. You want to migrate from AWS to Azure or a virtual environment. It can help you in your N-tier application recovery as well. You have a 3-tier app, app tier, front tier, back end. You can consistently migrate to Azure. You can prioritize it as well. You can say, let my DC recover first, then my database, then my app tier, then my frontier. It can help you with the cutover time, and it is a multi-tenant migration portal. I'll spend now more on the architecture, and we'll do a demo. I think that will give more, it'll make people excited about it. It's in limited preview. I just want to highlight that. Limited preview means you are free to use it. It's open for feedbacks, and it'll evolve in the next few months as we go on. It has some key components. The slide is small, but just to look at the labels that are there in the slide, number one represents the agents or the mobility service, the agents that you deploy on your on-premise environments or AWS environments. It needs a process server. Process server would be an on-premise component. It could be a physical box or a virtual box that will help in doing this transition. It can also help you caching, bandwidth management, you want to do encryption, you want that the replication should happen over the weekend or over the non-business hours, it can control that. You have the next component called as configuration server. It will make a bridge between the master target and the MA portal. The master target is the guy, which is a virtual machine running in Azure, that will take the clone of the disk from your production setup. And the last is the MA portal, which is the migration assessment portal. It gives an intuitive experience. You can navigate through it and do a configuration and recovery. So I'll do a demo around that. Okay, I've logged in into a MMA portal. You can see the URL on the top. I'll just zoom it a little bit. So that you can see you can go to this portal and request for the review preview access. In this lab, I have a set of servers, a VMware environment, an AWS environment. And as I log in, I see a healthy server and a Redshield server. Redshield, it's not a healthy server. Why it's not healthy? If you look on the right, it says it's behind by 3.74 weeks. It's been a time I've not replicated that content to Azure. While the green one, it's been pre-configured. It's just 1.45 minute behind. So I can say, yeah, this guy is ready for cutover. Now, how do I go about doing this all exercise? So we'll do that. It starts with a discovery process. You can go to cloud services, protection. And on the top left, you can see there are two sections, primary and cloud. If as you configure this tool, you have to go to the cloud button first and configure your Azure subscription. Then you do a discovery of your primary setup. It could be an Amazon. It could be Azure to Azure. It could be a VMware. It could be a physical box, or it could be a virtual machine running on Hyper-V on-premise. So you can see a lot of accounts we can map, and you can see each of the account can be configured in this setup. So I'll do a quick, maybe let's configure a vSphere server. I had the IP for it. It's 10.0.0.100. I can give. So it'll okay. So I think I already added that. So we'll go to the Contoso MA. Yeah, so you can see the vSphere is already there. And once I add the vSphere, it'll do a discovery of VMs running on the vSphere. I'll just spend a minute on how it has done a discovery. You look at the icon specifically. It says it's a VM. It's a Windows workload. And the next icon is, do we have the Scout agent on it or not? And what was the sync status for it? Yeah. Agent is not there, and it's not protected. But the guy, which is colored, the agent is available. The Scout agent is there, and it's getting replicated. So you can see the difference. Now, how do I go about installing an agent? I can select one or more than one. I can do shift, and I can select. On the right-hand side, you can just say install mobility service, which will then ask you some questions. You would have a service account which will have local admin rights to install an agent. You can specify that.
In fact, the ability to mention username and password once for 10 is such a relief, isn't it? Sometimes right. Things are wizard based and you have to do it 10 times.
Right, so you can see once you specify that, it will also look for the configuration server and the push server in the environment. In the interest of time, I'll just cancel that and we'll focus our energy on the one which is already there. We just have 10 minutes, so I'll just rush. I'll look at the agent which is already functional, and we will go to the next part. I have a guy which is green, that means replicated, but let's say once the agent is available, I want to protect that guy. I want to start the replication for it. I can just select that particular instance and I can click on protect. Okay, I'll just move on in the minute of time. I think some issue with this particular section of the lab. So let's take another environment. I'll go with this guy. I have a Linux box. Let's try to, it's running with agent, but it's not protected. Oh.
That's okay, I think we got the drill. You wanna show something else?
One last attempt, and then we'll go move on.
Great. Oh, it took.
Great. So it's a limited preview, so just ignore that. So you can give a name for the application group. You can define a retention policy. You can see on the right-hand side the compression, encryption, the things that I talked about. Bandwidth management, which is not available in the free tool, the MVMC and the MAT. So that's why focus on tools. when you are looking at the application you have at hand. And then you can specify the retention drive and the process server. So you just go about specifying the values that you have. And just activate. So that way, it will start replicating it to Azure. And once it is ready, you will see the green icon, like the one I showed you earlier. I'll just now focus on let's say the protection is ready. I can just go to the migrate button. And I can go to the same one which was showing me the green symbol. So the one which is replicated, we'll go with this guy, Contoso File Server. And I can okay, Contoso File Server, and this particular demo VM, and I can click on Migrate. So it's like cutover is something you can decide, and you can use the latest tag or the latest time. When was the last thing that has happened for it? And then you specify which cloud service it will go to, which subnet in Azure it will go to. Let's say I'll select a cloud service, I'll select a vNetwork, a subnet in it, and you can configure the endpoints as well. I want PowerShell to be enabled, RDP to be enabled, SSH to be enabled. I can add those ports by specifying those values here. And boom, yeah, it'll go to the next level.
So it is very comprehensive, right, and pretty neatly built. In times to come, you might see this merging maybe with one of the mainstream services also, because it is very comprehensive. For now, it's a standalone preview. So as Rohit was mentioning, there might be some glitches, but this is not production environment. You're using it for migration, so you're good to go. So when you use it, give us feedback so that maybe we can make it better. Yeah.
So
we can skip this, right?
Yeah. This is a process that talks about how you go about it. I'll just spend 1 minute on this link. You can use this link to get yourself signed up for the preview. Follow the sign-up process. It's just pretty simple. You install the CS server, the target, the process server, and you have access to the portal. And you can play with the tool. And there is a feedback forum that we will showcase. You can also look for commonly posted comments and feedbacks on this particular tool.
Correct. So, okay. All right. Somebody's not liking my voice. So, what we'll do, okay. Rohit, maybe you continue. So, what?
No. Just cut me off.
Okay. So what we will do, Madan, the earlier speaker, talked about operational insights. So, this is one service which takes the data, a humongous amount of data that you have on premises. It could be in the cloud, it could be on premises, it could be absolutely hybrid, and make sense out of it. So has anybody used Systems Header Advisor, which was a free tool? Some of you, right? So it has been improvised to a very, very big, you know, greater deal, and it is now called as Operational Insight. And what we will do, you know, it's straightforward. You can sign up for a preview. Again, this is a preview service, very new. So we'll show you how exactly it looks like. And I'm sure you will have questions on, you know, how it is done, etc. And if time permits, we will come to the slide as we will take questions. You know, it's going to be lunchtime. So if you are okay, we are okay, right? So what we'll do, we'll not go through the basic conversations and understanding. We'll rather quickly show you. So I have got a quick, a small demo environment that I'm running here. And you could see that it's not very comprehensive. It's not, it's not very little. I've got few machines running, and you could see that this one dashboard is telling me what's going on in my organization. So it is telling me, I have got just, as I said, it's a demo environment, 180 server. I have got few machines running, malware, whatever I want, log management, it is telling me everything on a one single dashboard. And I can absolutely go ahead and build my own kind of dashboards, very, very straightforward. But, you know, this is my demo environment. Have you got something better from the enterprise? Yeah.
My demo is better than yours.
Okay, let's
just
see.
Look
that.
At this.
Oh, that's much richer.
Just look at this.
No, that's mine.
That's still yours.
Yeah.
They are not, okay.
So they're not, not liking you. Okay, yeah.
Okay. My demo is still better than you, yours. Okay. So jokes apart, just to show of hands, how many of you have worked on SCOM?
Just
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
30% of
30%. There are many common feedbacks that we heard with SCOM. Can we do event correlation with SCOM? Come and ask. SCOM is a beautiful product. We are not killing that product. It's going to be improved as we go along. VNext is also coming in for SCOM. But event correlation is a question mark. What it means, I have a group of servers in my application. I want event ID from 1, event ID from 2, and 3, and I want to make some correlation out of it. Can we do that? Difficult, because it is background, it's SQL. But this guy, which we are showcasing now, it can do it beautifully. What this tool is, it's a cloud service, and it's going to be used as monitoring as a service. It's not going to take out your SCOM. You can see in this environment, you can go with machines that are not getting managed by SCOM, or you can also integrate SCOM to this operation insight service. Now, where to use what? If you're bringing up new servers, and this server service is something that excites you, you want to do beautiful dashboards, like just the dashboard that you saw, or you want to do event correlations, you can onboard your servers on the OpInsight service directly. You just go to servers and usage, and you will have options to install the agent. You can see the first block, servers connected last 2 weeks. It'll give you an MSI file. Download it. When you install the file, it'll ask you to specify the subscription ID of Azure and the key. And that's it. While if you go back to the previous screen again, there was another section around connected SCOM management group. You can have more than one SCOM management group connected to it. Folks, I just saw a few hands on System Center Advisor. How do you connect? On the SCOM console, under administration, on the bottom left, there is a section called Advisor Connection. You can come and do come to the section and say reconfigure or configure Advisor, and you can connect your OpInsight service to your SCOM. You can
just make a point here. We are talking about SCOM, which means it can go and talk to SCOM and make better representations and correlation. Doesn't mean that you need a SCOM to have operational insight. You can absolutely not have SCOM, and you still want to get some monitoring and let's say, change management or knowing that what's going on in your environment. So SCOM is not mandatory. It will just, operations insight will just sit on top of SCOM and make better representations and analysis, right?
That's correct. And just to spend 1 second on the, or I would say 1 minute on the dashboard, you can see there is a tile-based dashboard that we have come in on OpInsight. There are tiles for alert management, change management. Does it ring? I think common question. Can you tell me what's going on in my server? Yeah, change management is something we can track. Capacity planning, can I do a forecasting? Can I do alert management? Can I do log correlation? What are these? These are called intelligent packs. It's something that we have developed as a collaboration effort with various product teams and the support team. And these are solution analytics. So support team, product team, marketing team, field teams like us have contributed. We have put in the problem statements and the solutions for it. And you can see, for example, in the capacity, it can, once you install the agent, it starts doing a discovery, and then it'll give you recommendations on the environment.
Yes, so intelligent packs are here on the left-hand side. These are the ones that we have added to show this particular demonstration. Of course, depending on what makes sense to you, you'll go ahead and add the relative and the prospective intelligence packs, and you will be good to go, right? So it can be as big or really, really crowdy if you want the dashboard to be, or it can be absolutely simple with just a couple of ones, because if that makes sense for you.
Yeah, and we have updates coming in every now and then. Please have a look at the MOM team blog. AD intelligent pack is there. We also have a security assessment blog. I want to show you something interesting. I kept on talking about search experience and stuff. What you can see, if I click on my overview usage dashboard, I did talk about the configure button. Configure button will tell you the direct agent installation and the workspace ID that you need to punch in as you install. If I go to the overview and I go to my dashboard. Okay. Come on, Speedy, come on. So it'll give me an option to create my own dashboard. You can see how beautifully I can customize it. It's coming up with a lot of graphs. I can go to the customize button and I can pick up a query. It's so simple. Now, if I have to look for a query, I can just look for my saved searches. And I did a query. I can just do a drag and drop of it. And that's it. Now, what is this query? I wanted to show a demo on number of servers that are there in my environment and the number of events I'm getting on the environment. I can simply by the stroke of click, I can modify the tile visualization as well. Another important thing I want to just share, let me just quickly say back.
So there are workspaces in Operational Insights. So it's absolutely possible that there could be five people who are looking at monitoring, from all the assets across the board, and you might have different workspaces given out to these individuals. So there's no need to go ahead and share, passwords across the board. Of course, you can have multiple workspaces and make your own dashboards.
That's correct. One last demo, and then we'll close the note. This is a thing that I want to share. It's a big... People who have worked in SCOM, they would know you can create a monitor. What is a monitor? I will have a data source, I will have a condition, I will have a right action. For Exchange, I will have one. SQL, I will have one. AD, I'll have one. Here, everything is a big data source. And if I just click on, let's say I'm trying to see the backup event on the inventory environment that I have. It is doing a scanning in the environment, and it will give me a hit on the number of events that have backup as a search string. And you can see there are some 22,000 events. You can put more filters. Why I'm showing you this demo? I'm sure most of you are IT professionals. Do we have some developers here?
Yes, we do have. Yeah.
We have one, two, three. But most of us are four. Most of us are comfortable maybe just writing PowerShell, right? What you can see here, as I add a filter, on the top it is doing something. People who are comfortable with the PowerShell, they would know I can do a pipe. I can just say measure. Count. And what is this? This is called, I think people who worked with PowerShell would know IntelliSense. So that logic is also here. You can save this query and it can then come in your search history as well. As you make a dashboard, you can pull that query. So all your dashboards, all your tiles, in the background is just a query only. Now, in a summary, what Intelligent Pack is giving you, it's giving you visualization. It is giving you search queries, and it is taking up data sources, and then the representation. So please do, let's another question, interesting question I heard in the last session. AD, Exchange, everything is coming in one Azure login. Can I give it delegatedly to my teams? Yes, you can. This is something coming in roadmap. You can see on the top, there is a demo workspace. Likewise, I can create multiple search workspace. And then I can have a super admin workspace who can control everything. So that's also in the roadmap.
Yep. All right. So we're absolutely over time. So let's see if you have any questions. We can take a couple of them. Yep. Can we have some mic here? All right. So two of you. So we'll take these two questions. And for rest, we are absolutely here if you have any questions. And then we will announce lunch break. So while you're getting the mic and framing your questions, there are a few recommended sessions, related sessions that you can refer. There's one neat chalk talk on Azure Data Center. And there's one interesting one on DR strategy tomorrow. And of course, please give us feedback. Help us understand what you like, what you did like. Yeah.
Yeah, hi. I was doing a POC on Migration Accelerator. So I was facing issues while doing the connectivity between the Amazon environment and the Azure. I was following the site-to-site connectivity, and the other option that is given is the NAT IP.
NAT IP, yeah.
Yeah. So I have tried both, and both are they're not giving me any results.
I would suggest you to refer a blog. I'll forward you that blog. You just need to make sure your connectivity ports are and the configurations are sorted out. With NAT IP, yeah, it's a little difficult because you need to work closely with your firewall team just to make sure the outbound 443 access is available. Site-to-site VPN gives you consistent connectivity. It's more reliable. And to give you some insight, in future, we are trying to get rid of all of it. So to make it more simpler. And so, if you have done POC, I can empathize with you, the installation part of MSCS MT. Yes. That's also going to be simplified. Click, done.
Okay, so I think the problem is from the Amazon configuration for the site-to-site.
Yeah.
So do you have anything on that?
Yeah, we can discuss offline on that.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, you can take our emails and shoot. There's one question there, that's okay?
Right. Yeah, I think...
On toward the last one.
Yeah, okay. We'll take this question first.
Yeah, I just want to know whether Ops Insights can be a replacement for SCOM for SMBs.
Surely it can be. As I said, if you're starting fresh, start with Ops Insights because it has a bigger play to close.
Yeah.
Only few things I would state. I'm being an advisor because I come from field. It doesn't do... Linux environment right now, but it's there in the roadmap.
Okay.
So if you can wait for a while, and you can start with Windows, you're good to start.
As we said, it's in preview, right? So we're testing it. Yes, for SMBs, why not? But please do not come, you know, I won't say do a 101 mapping comparison for everything that SCOM does. This will be more general purpose.
For an SMB who cannot afford System Center, SCOM, obviously, whether we can suggest him for an option.
Absolutely, right, that's where it
and, is. And when I say it's not supported yet, I still have a clause there. If you can dump data in Azure Blob, Ops Insights can pick it. Because it's looking it as a big data source.
Sure, thank you.
Yep. So one question there.
Hello. Since that migration accelerator support only for that migration of virtual machines, right?
Yes.
So I'm concerned about the application which I'm running on 2003 server, which is not supportable on Azure. So that I may concern about the application migration. What Microsoft has solution for that migration of application into Azure?
Yeah, so I think definitely you need to get rid of 2003 as a platform. There will be no support for it from July, you know it. So MAP is the first way to start, whether your application can go to the next level or not. And there are tools available from Microsoft and from our partner Citrix that can help you do an application assessment on the platform. Whether, for example, when you're running SAP on 2003, I'm just taking one name that is coming into my mind. That partner tool is called AppDNA. You can have a run of that tool on the app server, identify if it can get, go to 2008 R2 or 2012, and then take it to Azure. That's how you should start.
So is there any specific tool for migration of applications?
No,
so you
have to still move the platform first.
And then application.
Then upgrade. So we are talking about platform migration here. It's not application migration. So start with AppDNA or the MAP tool that I talked about. Do application migration, then the platform migration.
So two-pronged approach. Do the application, also that whether it will work on the latest one, whether it needs tweaking, etc. Of course, and then the platform. It would be the easier part, honestly. Great.
Okay.
So
I have one question.
Okay, this last question, those of you who want to break for lunch, you can feel free. We don't mind just talking to one person. We'll resume the next, we'll try to keep time, so we'll start at 2:05 post-lunch. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Okay, this is about this accelerator, what we talked about. I just wanted to know if I have some application which is having three-tier architecture in a machine. Will this accelerator will taking care of everything like capacity planning, like the storage, like and then it will migrate it to the particular VM? Will it will taking care?
You're looking just for migration, right?
Yeah. So overall, I wanted to understand if this accelerator will be taking care of my sessions, my capacity,
So it does in-memory query when it does a in-memory is what your question is. So if it's a three-tier app, it will look at your in-memory transactions, and then it will start creating a recovery point. And if you remember the migrate button that I showed, it had 2 points, last recovery time and last recovery tag. You as an app owner or the admin has to take a decision looking at how much RPO you can take. Yeah. I showed a VM with 1.5 minute lag. So I as an app owner, I'm comfortable. If you're comfortable, then it does a cutover. Important thing, I'm still emphasizing, migration is your need or disaster recovery is your need. If migration is your need, we just talked about it. If you're also looking at disaster recovery to Azure, come to my session tomorrow.
Azure Site Recovery would be the tool for you. Yeah?
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, guys. We still have few really, really warriors here standing. So thank you so much.
And folks who have just stayed back, one more update. Folks who have Windows Phone.
Takeaways.
There is an OpenSite app as well.
Yeah. So
you can manage your environment from a mobile. And there is a roadmap for Android and iPhone as well.
All right. So you guys just stay back. We have some giveaway for you. Thank you so much. And can we take it offline? We'll just close it officially. Thank you so much. We'll see you around. And hope you have a great conference. Bye-bye.